When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Lovely to be with you this morning. Something you may not know about me, my name's Johnny Tate, by the way. I work here at the parish. I'm Mission and Operations Coordinator, and it's lovely to be with you. Something you may not know about me is that I am a bit of a Nancy Griffith fan. Any Nancy Griffith fans here? That's okay. There we go. Thank you, Sally. If you don't know who Nancy Griffith is, she's recognized by many as one of the greatest kind of American folk country singer-songwriters of the last 50 years to come out of America. She sadly passed away in 2021, but before she did, she captured hearts all across America, and particularly in Ireland, with her kind of bittersweet storytelling style in song. For many people, the quintessential Nancy Griffith song is a song called Love at the Five and Dime. A five and dime store is a store where you can buy things for 5 cents or 10 cents, which is a dime. So it's Love at the Five and Dime. And the song tells the story of Rita and Eddie, two young people who fall in love in a convenience store somewhere in a small town in America. The opening verse of the song goes like this. Rita was 16 years, hazel eyes and chestnut hair, and she made the Woolworth counter shine. And Eddie was a sweet romancer and a real good dancer, and they waltzed the aisles of the Five and Dime. As the song unfolds, Rita and Eddie's lives unfold with it, and we're taken on this journey. On their journey through life, and they endure all sorts of things. There's tragedy. There is relational breakdown. Happily, they reunite. And then the song ends with the two of them in old age. But what's so beautiful is how Rita and Eddie remain throughout all the things that they go through, forever kind of two young people waltzing in the aisles of this five and dime store. And in that way, they kind of waltz through life together. When Jesus teaches his followers how to pray in our passage this morning, what he's actually teaching them is how to develop a life of prayer that connects them at a heart level with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so he tells those that are gathered before him in our passage, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners, and don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do, repeating their words again and again. Jesus isn't saying that public prayer or repeating words in itself is a bad thing, but what he is saying is that if you only pray to be seen or heard, or if you're impressed even by the sound of your own prayers and you like that sound, that the best thing you can hope for really in terms of a reward from God for that type of prayer that thinks about other people around you is for the empty praise of those around you. And really, that's no reward at all. And so that's what we're going to look at today. How do we take this invitation of Jesus to step into a deeper place of intimacy with God and prayer? Now, you may already feel that prayer for you is a wonderful joy in your life. Or maybe you feel like you've tried praying, you don't feel that prayer comes easily for you. Or maybe you're here this morning for the first time and you've never actually really prayed before. Whatever your experience of prayer has been, know that the Lord is here to encourage you this morning through this passage, to encourage us all, to invite you further into the life of God, into intimacy with God. And his word to you from this passage this morning is to pray to your Father in private, and then your Father who sees everything will reward you. So I want to look at three things from the passage that I think Jesus teaches us about how we can develop intimacy with God in prayer. The first thing is, it begins by showing up. Jesus says, when you pray. He assumes that we will pray. If you're going to have a rich and intimate prayer life with God, you're going to have to show up. Rita and Eddie would have needed to spend time together in each other's company before the relationship moved to the place of dancing. They had to show up and say that they were going to put away all the other distractions of life and turn towards each other and be together. Choosing not to be somewhere else. And in a sense, that's exactly what prayer is. It's turning away from all that distracts us in life and turning towards God and remembering that he's always with us and that he loves us. For our relationship to deepen in prayer with God, we need to first set aside time for him each day. I love how Eugene Peterson interprets verse 6 of our passage in the Message version of the Bible, and he quotes Jesus' words, and he says, here's what I want you to do. This is Jesus speaking through Eugene Peterson. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. And just be there as simply and as honestly as you can. And the focus will shift from you to God. All those distractions will go, and you'll begin to focus on God, and you'll begin to sense his grace. The reality is that we are being intentionally and relentlessly trained to give our attention and our time to things that don't really matter at all and have no actual benefit to our lives. And at the same time, all across the world, there's a crisis in meaning as people lose hope and can't see what the point of life is. But God invites us into a place where we can discover who we are, who he is, and remember afresh his love for us. I went for a walk on the beach yesterday for a short time with my kids, and as I stepped out onto the sand, the sun poked out. It was one of those lovely days in early spring where it's sort of a wee bit warmer than you expect it to be. And the sun kind of warmed my face, and I looked out at the blue sea, and it was beautiful. And I thought, what if in this time and in this day and age, when we are so distracted that prayer becomes a way to fight back against the forces of distraction, which are actually forces of oppression? What if prayer becomes a space that we step into? Maybe you've all heard that story of John Wesley's mother. I think she had 18 children. And the way that she got time to pray was by sitting in her kitchen and putting the apron over her head. And in that way, she was able to just come together with God for a minute and remember his goodness. And maybe that's what we need in this day and age, is a way to step away from all the technology and the distractions and focus on God and bring the two of us together and quiet our minds and bring our bodies to a place of stillness, even just for a few moments, and just say simply, here I am, Lord. And as you spend time in that place, even though you can't see him and you can't touch him or you can't smell him or you can't taste him, God is actually healing you in your deepest places. Jesus says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door, and pray to your Father in private. And then your Father who sees you will reward you. So that's the first thing. A wonderful life of intimacy with God in prayer begins by showing up. The second thing Jesus teaches us in this passage is a vocabulary that his people can use to communicate with God in an increasingly deep way. We often don't know what to say to God. And so even if we come to that space, we can find ourselves lost for words. There's always a way for us to go deeper with God, but because of our fractured nature, we need help to figure out how to relate to him, because it doesn't come naturally to us. But Jesus says in the passage, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And so when we look at verses 9 to 13 in the passage, we recognize it as the Lord's Prayer, and we've said it countless times. But as those of you who have done the prayer course on Sunday nights will know, Jesus has actually given a gift to his people through this. It's a framework for prayer. It's a language to use to talk to God. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, is about adoration, enjoying God's presence through praise and worship. May your kingdom come soon is about intercession, speaking to God on behalf of others. May your will be done is about submission. It's about saying to God, you're in charge, I'm not. I don't always get it right, but you do. On earth as in heaven is about a contemplative prayer life, spending time with God, just even in silence, and finding that he enriches our relationship with him in that place. Give us today our daily bread is about petition. It's about asking God for prayer for the things that we feel we need. Bear in mind that he always knows best. And it's also about asking God to speak to us and saying, Lord, have you anything to say to me? And then sitting there quietly and in the stillness and listening for his voice and learning to recognize how he communicates with you. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us is about confession. Talking to God about the stuff that we get wrong. And then finally, don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's about recognizing that we're in a spiritual battle. Life takes place in the midst of a spiritual battle. And it's about seeking to be equipped. It takes perseverance and discipline to exercise this vocabulary that Jesus has given us. It's something we have to work at. And in that way, it is similar to dancing, because when you go to learn to dance, you have to begin to learn the steps, and that takes perseverance and discipline if you're ever going to dance well. What happens if you do persevere is that the movements begin to flow together, and you begin to move as one, and there's no longer this tension. And discipline gives way to delight. And there's moments within that, as you keep at this discipline, where God just sweeps you off your feet. And you find that what was forced and awkward at the start becomes beautiful and life-changing. And something that you actually long for. God puts that desire within you. So that's the second thing about a wonderful life of intimacy with God. It comes through perseverance and discipline and through the exercising of the vocabulary that Jesus gave to us. The last thing Jesus teaches his followers in the passage this morning comes at the end of the passage in verse 14, and he says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you your sins. The reality is that Jesus wants your life of prayer to change your entire life. And what he's saying here is that if you're connected deeply with God by turning to him regularly and communicating with him in an open and honest way, as Jesus teaches us to do, that our hearts will become united with his heart and there will be no unforgiveness in our lives. You see, you can be showing up with God. You can be spending time with God. You can be saying the right words. But if you're living with unforgiveness in your life, you're out of step. That's what Jesus is saying. dancing out of step causes tension. You don't move together. You pull against one another. And there's pain and there's frustration. And it can be exhausting. And it lacks joy. To move together with God, we need to forgive others as God has forgiven us. Only then will we move with lightness and freedom and joy. And that's what Jesus wants for his church. He wants us to be those people who move with lightness and freedom and joy. And he also wants us to be one, to be united so that we can fulfill his commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And the people will look at us and say, look at how those people love each other. Forgiveness is essential for imperfect people to be in relationship together. Whenever we needed forgiven by God, he took the initiative. He stepped in. He came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And he laid down his life on the cross, taking the punishment for sin. And as he did that, he prayed for those who were crucifying, saying, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And when he rose again, he made it possible for those who believe in him and follow him to be filled with the life of God by the Holy Spirit. And those who are filled with the life of God are those who are moving in perfect step with God. Forgive and keep on forgiving those who sin against you, just as you have been forgiven by your Heavenly Father. And when we pray, we're not on our own. We're filled with his Holy Spirit. And when we don't know what to pray, he prays for us. And he helps us to forgive. And our hearts become aligned with God's heart. And the overflow brings transformation to the world around us. So develop an intimacy with God in prayer. Begins by showing up. It continues and deepens by learning the steps and the discipline. And then it takes off and we begin to glide with God as our heart becomes aligned with his. So as I said at the start, we're all in different places with God in our prayer lives. But what I want to offer to you this morning are some suggestions about ways to put this practice of Jesus, put this teaching of Jesus into practice. The first is, even if you don't know what to do or what to say, begin the habit of giving time to God each day. Just show up. When Jesus was talking to the crowds, the typical Jewish observance was to pray 3 times a day. Jesus doesn't specify how many times a day, but to have a really good regular pattern of at least once a day, even twice a day, morning and night, is what the church has usually done. Make a habit of showing up with God. Find a place and a time where you can be alone, just as Jesus says, in the private place, and make it a regular time with God. And if it doesn't work out some days, just get back onto it the next day again. Secondly, try out that vocabulary Jesus teaches us in the passage. The prayer course has just taken place on a Sunday night in the welcome area. It's finished now. But the website is brilliant. It's got all of the videos that were used in the prayer course. And you can watch them there. They're 20 minutes long, and they go into each of these sections of the Lord's Prayer and unpack what is adoration, what is petition, what do I do about unanswered prayer. It will really help you engage with prayer. And if you binge watch them all in one go, it would take you about 2 hours and 40 minutes, which is about the time you'll spend watching that new film, Wicked, if you go to see it. And I'm going to let you decide what the best use of your time is. But that's all it would take to actually watch that, and it could change your life. They are so good. So let me recommend that to you. It's the prayer course, and it's available online, and you can engage with those at your leisure. Another suggestion, and something I've found completely revolutionary recently, and many of you may already do this, but this is the Book of Common Prayer, and in this is a pattern for a life of prayer. And when it's used in conjunction with the thing called the lectionary, the Revised Common Lectionary, it gives you Bible readings for every day. And that is something that you can take into your prayer space. It is like those steps of discipline. It helps you have a structured time with God each day. And what happens as you begin to engage in that is that that desire to pray, I have found, grows. And there are moments when God just cuts through all the words and just sweeps you off your feet. But actually, it's by showing up and exercising the discipline that he does that. I want to leave you with an image just of what it looks like when God's people learn to pray this way, as Jesus taught them to, and in so doing, become caught up in the life of God, moving as one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This place where we live, as many of you know, became famous in the 6th century because of the monastery, which provided unceasing prayer and praise 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for over 300 years. Somebody once said that all great moves of God in history have been preceded by great moves of prayer. And what happened from this place was that it sent missionaries all over the known world to Europe to bring the light of Christ and the light of the gospel to a darkened world, to the point that this place was called the Light of the Nations. And we know that the Lord wants to do that again. That's his will. And by following Jesus' teaching in this passage, we can begin to be about that work, to be about the work of prayer on behalf of our city and on behalf of the world, behalf of our families and our workplaces. And we can align our hearts in God with God and check that we are forgiven others. And as we do that, and as we come together in unity as the people of God, there is immense power. And maybe this place could become a shining city once again. Let's pray. Lord, you know exactly what we need even before we ask for it. Lord, thank you for this teaching today from your word about how to relate to you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Spirit that lives within us and for the immense cost that was paid by Jesus and by God to give us that gift. Lord, stir up amongst us a passion to pray. Give us discipline and focus. Help us turn away from all that distracts us, Lord. Enrich our prayer lives through these disciplines. And send us afresh, Lord, to transform the world as the life that you have given us overflows into those around us. Thank you that when we pray, we are confident that you will reward us with yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.